Welcome to the May issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. We have a strong emphasis on perceptual matters in this month's issue, with papers on such topics as preference for listening rooms and auditory models. We're also bringing you a feature on sound for picture techniques, as well as a comment from acoustician John Storick on loudness in public spaces, which we intend to be the start of a regular series of columns written by noted figures from our industry. Sakari Tervo and his colleagues from Finland kick off the research papers section with their study of preferences for critical listening environments among sound engineers. Using a 30-channel reproduction system, they simulated 9 studio control rooms in an anechoic space. Interestingly, while mixing engineers preferred acoustically dry environments with high clarity, mastering engineers preferred more reverberant environments with less clarity. Reverberation and clarity appeared to be the dominant dimensions for preference. Continuing on the theme of listener responses, Nicholas Hardlander and 2 of his co-workers evaluated objective measures from auditory models, such as PEMOQ and CESP, in comparison with state-of-the-art quality prediction models. They tested 3 main groups of sound distortions, including those from low bitrate codecs, audio source separation, and noise reduction algorithms, and found that perceptual metrics from the auditory models generalized across these different types of distortions more successfully than the technical measures from established sound quality models. Sun-Young Kim and his fellow researchers tell us about the perception of elevated sound in a home theater system, using a method that creates the impression of vertical sources using binaural synthesis and crosstalk canceling. Putting loudspeakers high up or in the ceiling is a challenge in most homes, so the authors surmise that it would be convenient if a result could be achieved instead using signal processing such as this. They had some success in creating these height effects using only the left and right surround and the center channel at ear level. The final 2 papers in this month's issue deal with transducers, one with headphones, the other with loudspeakers. The first, by Florian Volk, considers the variability in circumaural headphone responses, both between listeners and for individuals when the headphone is subject to repositioning. They found differences in high-frequency response at the blocked ear canal of more than 10 decibels between individuals and differences of up to 0.5 milliseconds in the group delay. All 3 headphones tested showed similar results, with inter-individual differences generally exceeding those for headphone repositioning. The final study presented this month is an engineering report on the design of point-source loudspeakers by Santiago Ortiz with his colleagues from Norway and Spain. They explain that the standard approach to making omnidirectional loudspeakers involves using a polyhedral radiator. This doesn't work at short distances and high frequencies, though. So the authors developed an equalized reverse horn that could deliver a flat frequency response from 100 Hz to 8 kHz with the desired directional characteristics. In May's standards news, we report on the latest work in digital audio, including measurement, interfaces, file transfer, and exchange. There's also our regular update on the most recent product releases and developments, and news from AES sections around the world. Sound for picture has become a major theme of recent AES events and will be the topic of a groundbreaking international conference in Hollywood next year. In this month's feature, we report on 3 recent masterclasses given by leading practitioners on the arts of dialogue editing, music scoring, and sound design for films and television. Chaired by Brian McCarty, chair of the related AES Technical Committee, these classes introduced the ins and outs of professional work in the fast-moving field of post-production. Adaptability, experience, and careful organization emerge as key traits of the successful few. There's also an interesting comment by John Storick, well-known acoustician and architect, on the problem of excessive noise in public space, such as restaurants. Likening the noise to the pollution created by smoking, Storick argues for lobbying by the audio community to have excessive noise banned in places like clubs and restaurants so that we can all enjoy a better-sounding world. Finally, we need to draw your attention to 2 calls that are published this month inviting papers and other contributions for forthcoming conferences on audio for games and on the future of audio entertainment technology. They're both taking place in the early months of 2015 and promise to be landmark happenings in their respective fields. You'll find all this and much more in the May issue of the AES Journal, available now at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.